ourselves a game 7 tonight, Stanley Cup Final. Boston Bruins hosting the St. Louis Blues. Friend of the program, Mick Colaggio from Standard Times, is with us, and he's there, actually, in Boston, getting ready to cover this. Mick, welcome. How are you?
What's up, pal?
Thanks, guys, for having me on. How you doing?
How nuts is it around Canal Street Causeway right now? I mean, I've seen...
You know what? I haven't found my way there yet. Oh. It's so bad in the city that I didn't even take the expressway in. I took Wollaston Beach, went through South Boston, could not get on Congress Street. I don't know what's going on in the financial district. I wound up taking a left and wiggling my way to a different parking garage than the one I usually use, which happened to be near the theater district. So
I
walked over here to the Orpheum.
You're
where
closer to Fenway than you want to...
a couple of rock show tickets for a while now. And that'll be what I do right after I talk to you. Then I'm walking to the garden.
You're closer to Fenway than you were the garden.
I don't think so.
But they're playing this afternoon too.
Looking right at the old South Church. Yeah. That's true. That's why I didn't go that way.
Yeah.
That would have been the alternative, and I didn't want to do that because I figured, that's going to be nuts.
This is a bad omen for Boston. I mean, you're thrown off your routine before the opening faceoff. This is trouble.
And you do have your routine.
Good thing I've lived too long. I've outlived all my superstitions.
Now, what's the pizza place you always used to go to before the game? Circle.
Oh, Regina's on Thatcher Street.
Oh, yeah, well, not Regina's, but I thought it was another one. Yeah, that's where I used to live, right around there. But
yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that's been my favorite place for the last, a few decades. But there was a place in the Haymarket back in the early 70s called Al Capone's.
Yeah.
And that place there was, bought and sold by the end of the decade. And still, does a pretty good volume business, but it's not quite the gourmet that it once was.
Mm. All right, how do both teams manage their emotions tonight in Game 7? Do the Bruins, do you think, have an advantage because a lot of those guys obviously have been there and won it before?
I think both teams are doing a great job of that. And I think that one thing that the Bruins have really had a good culture with, and this goes all the way back, as far back as, the beginning of the Julian era, they accept emotion. They don't say, okay, let's try to step on that bug and not let it breathe. They accept it, and they let it breathe, and they say, just remember, while you're letting it breathe, that you got to focus on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So they're not anti-emotion, and I think it's really served them well for many years now. It doesn't guarantee anything, but I think the Blues have done a nice job in that regard as well. Last game was more about the hockey than anything else, and it was the Bruins' best 5-on-5 game of the series, and it was easily the best performance by the Bruins' top 6 forwards as a unit. So that all said, I think they got a lot to hang their hat on in that regard, and that's the basis of their hope. The Blues are obviously thinking, hey, look, we won 2 games in this building already in this series. The first one was an anomaly. Let's go play our game and come home with it. And so I think we may see the best of both tonight, and should be fun.
I, as a neutral observer watching this series, the eyeball test to me, I'll say it, at Boston it appears to be the better team. They feel like they always had the momentum. St. Louis did get their games to get here. All that goes out the window, though, here for a Game 7. But to me, looks like Boston's a way better team here, but now they find themselves in a Game 7.
I don't know how you get to that point when you saw the 5-on-5 domination that St. Louis enjoyed, especially early in the series. I think the first game was such an adrenaline emotion thing. The Bruins hadn't played in 11 days. But game 2, the third period and the overtime, the Blues was such a statement game. They went home. The Bruins responded, came out, and they got some breaks. But it seems even the games the Bruins have dominated and won by lopsided scores, those games, Tuca had to hold them in and weather a storm early on before the Bruins got whatever they needed by the power play or even an even strength contribution to gain some separation. And other than that, the games have been very, very tight, and I think it'd be kind of difficult to envision anything but a tight game tonight.
I agree. And I look at special teams, I think is going to be a key. And we know in situations like this, there's not a lot of, usually, Mick, there's not a lot of power play opportunities. Bruins are outscoring the Blues 7-1 on the power play in this series. The Blues are 1-for-18 in the series on the power play.
And they're really bad on the road all playoffs long. They're only at 9% on the road coming into the series, whereas at home, their power play was just as good as Boston's. So, but the Bruins have had a better penalty kill. So, yeah, you're right. If it becomes about special teams, it'd be a shocking upset for the Blues to win. If there are no penalties called, then that's the Blues' best chance at winning.
Mick, we've heard some stories today that there's a possibility that might be a video message from one David Ortiz after what he's just gone through that's going to be played tonight. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, nothing more than what you have. I've heard that Tim Thomas is in town. Yeah. So we'll see if that holds water. So there might be an on-site banner captain of the 2011 Conn Smythe winner. There might also be a message from the hospital, from which is right in, he's in town now. Poppy. So that would be awfully nice if he's well enough to do that.
The Tim Thomas thing. Wow. I mean, how did it get to this? I mean, there had to be some serious let bygones be bygones for this to happen. I think it's great, but it certainly seems, Mick, from what I've seen on Twitter today, that is more than a 50-50 chance that he might be the banner captain tonight.
Yeah, somebody else posted something with a picture of him in the airport, but it was really it was not like a telltale photo. It was more of a somebody saying they identified him in this crowd, and you see a crowd. So, granted, I was only looking at my phone at the time, so I don't know, where it goes to beyond that. But, hey, if in fact he's here, I think it's wonderful. It's overdue. The guy is a hero in this town. He's won two Vezina trophies. He's the Conn Smythe winner of the Stanley Cup, the only one in our lifetime besides Bobby Orr, the only one in my lifetime besides Bobby Orr, and who won it in 70 and 72. And regardless of what, our political ideology dominates this state, I just find it criminal that the social ostracization of Tim Thomas. I don't get it. I don't agree with it. I think that if we really believe in diversity, then we should lay a red carpet for that guy.
Totally agree. Who do you think will have the bigger impact upon their return tonight? Barbashev on the fourth line with the Blues, or Mac Resnick returning to the defense for the Bees?
Well, a fourth line winger by definition is nowhere near as important as a puck moving defenseman, especially considering that's the bread and butter of Boston game. They got to beat the Blues forecheck to the puck, no matter how smart they dump it. They have to make clean first passes. Grizzlick is one of the few guys in the NHL who can improvise the transition. And that means that if the forecheck is coming a different way, or he has to go out a different side, or he has to think of something different to do, or maybe carry the ball, he can do all of that. And this is what's great about his game. He's a conventional player. He plays hard, but he is not a big guy, so he can get overwhelmed, especially when the Blues are hemming you in. And so Boston's strength in this series is also their weakness, having so many small guys in the lineup. So if Grizzlick goes in, they're talking about taking out Clifton. We'll see. That was Cassidy's own speculation today. If that happens, it'll be what it really tells you is that Johnny Moore has impressed them, because that'll give the Bruins an imbalance of rights and lefts if they do that, which means he must really believe that Moore can give him more than Clifton. It also says that McAvoy and Carlo are going to play as many shifts as they possibly can on that right side. So what's the point of having another right shot?
Mm-hmm. Mick, if I were to presume that you think the Stanley Cup is the most prestigious award in all of sports, what's even close? Is there a second on your list?
Well, in my life, not really, but I think the Davis Cup is a great trophy. I think that... any trophy that replicates itself with each presentation, I don't think is... The Stanley Cup has so much history, and the one that the teams are playing for tonight is sort of a blend of new and old when you consider that the perpetuation of the rings, they just removed one in order to make room for the next winner, and that would wipe out some really great teams from the 50s, including the Canadiens. I think they were in that group, the late 50s Montreal team that won five in a row. It's a tough one. There's some great trophies. The World Cup's a great trophy. The Claret Jug's a great trophy. The Stanley Cup is second to none.
I want to ask you, you know, I think whoever wins this game tonight, I think the goalie is going to win the Conn Smythe. And we've talked enough about Tuukka Rask, but Jordan Binnington, you and I have seen enough rookie goaltenders stymie the Bruins in our lifetime. Most of them play for Montreal. What your thoughts on Jordan Binnington, his what makes this guy so special at such a young age in an environment like this?
Well, first off, he spent most of last season invisible, mm-hmm. Playing every night in Providence, mm-hmm. with the Bruins on loan from the Blues because they had too many goalies and the Bruins didn't have enough healthy ones. And Binnington wound up spending a big chunk of last season in Providence and basically was anonymous. And he was playing well, he was doing well, but it wasn't anything Bruins fans could get excited about because anybody who knew anything about him knew that he was property of the Blues, but he was also buried in their system. So it was kind of file under who gives a rat's you know what.
Yeah.
So now everybody gives a rat's you know what because the kid had, you know, changed their season. He came up in early July when the team was ranked last in the NHL win-loss-wise. And they've been one of the top teams in the league ever since. And he's a big kid. He's a structural goalie. And I think playing behind that humongous defense that they have, being in their lineup is the only average size guy. The rest of them are all like, you know, mm-hmm. they're going like Pietrangelo's the yeah. little guy up there, and he's probably 6'2".
Yeah.
And they're all over 200 pounds. And they go right up to Parayko, you know, who's kind of mm-hmm. like the Gronkowski of hockey. So it's really a thing where he interacts with that. He's the right goalie for that team. I don't know how good a goalie is. We won't know until he's played, you know, a handful of NHL seasons and probably for some so-so hockey teams. Then you find out how good a goalie is. Till now, you know he's the right goalie.
All right, Mick, again, with your routine messed up and you no stress in your voice at yeah. all, you great performance again here on the radio. Thank you for joining us here under your circumstances.
And Mick, and if the Bruins win tonight, may the outcome for your travels be better. Because last time we spoke after this in 2011, you were driving home from Vancouver as they were burning that beautiful city down. I hope that doesn't happen tonight.
I you know what's funny? I thought about this for the first time today. I just feel like we're in an age now where so many people gather in outside places where big things are happening. Canal Street was a zoo the other day. I think it's going to be even worse tonight. I'm just hoping everybody can make it home safely mm-hmm. that really wants to win or lose. That's the number one goal here is that we shouldn't have any collateral damage.
All right,
Mick. All right, Mick. Good work. Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All righty.
That's Mick Colaccio from the Standard Times, covering the Bruins in Game 7, the Stanley Cup Final tonight against the St. Louis Blues.